This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about polls, specifically political polls. There have been a whole bunch of them recently with varying results, with varying methodologies, even variances in terms of how many people they spoke to. So we want to know, based on some that have found, for example, that the Prime Minister enjoys a 67% approval rating, others which found that only 2 in 10 Malaysians want him to continue till the end of his term. What do you make of these polls? Do you think that they accurately represent how you're feeling at the moment? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now, to find out more about creating an accurate or high quality poll, we're crossing over to Danish Prakash Chako, who is the director of Tindak Malaysia. Danish, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
So generally speaking, what are polls like this meant to achieve?
So particularly for polls related, it's meant to affect the political discourse. It's more like stimulating discussions for the general public. But particularly as these polls appear more and more closer towards elections, primarily it will serve as a barometer for political parties to respond or not to respond to certain situations. So that will influence the political strategy. And sometimes if the polls are very biased, then it actually serves for the purpose of psychological warfare from parties' point of view. But from the point of, let's say, a civil society organization, sometimes these polls will help us for advocacy purposes, knowing which groups should be targeted for certain causes.
Now, what do those polls then tell you about public opinion? Is there something that, I suppose, are they useful when it comes to gauging what the general public might think?
So there's two ways to look at this this question. If the pollster is independent and neutral, first and foremost, it is a snapshot of the time of that particular point of view. So it's a public opinion as of that period of time. And secondly, it does demystify certain bubbles, views that we used to hold on. So let's say if we do not necessarily endorse the current sitting government of the day, but the poll states otherwise, it can help us to demystify certain views. Okay, the other point of view is if the pollster is very much linked to a particular parties or certain groups, supportive of certain groups in the country, then it is actually meant to wrap up the support base of a certain political party.
And let's talk about creating these polls, right? How do you create a poll that will actually provide quality and valuable information? What kind of considerations need to go in creating a poll like that?
Let me give you three considerations. First and foremost, you need to know the population size. Okay, if you want to survey the whole country, let's say we have a population around 32 million, you should aim for a completed response for your survey of 384 individuals. You don't need tens of thousands. You just need 384 individuals with a 5% of margin of error. Of course, that's the bare minimum. You should try to aim higher. So that's the first part. The second part, when you choose the population, it should be representative of the demographics. What do I mean? It is proportional to the age distribution, to the gender, the states, the economics, urban-rural classification, and many other attributes that you think it is appropriate for the survey that you have designed. So then that's the second part, the representation of demographics. The third one, you must plan out and mitigate potential low response rates. So what do I mean that? If you issue survey to 500 respondents, do not expect all 500 respondents will respond back, or maybe around 200 or 250. So you need to work out what are the measures required so that you can attain, for example, the bare minimum of 384 respondents.
Now, what would you say are some of the challenges involved in getting that representation in terms of adequately representing, as you said, our population?
So some of the challenges would be low response rate. For example, if you do a phone interview, you may call, let's say, 1,000 or 2,000 people, but the response rate you might only get is 100 or 200. So you have to increase the number of phone calls just to mitigate the low response rate. The other thing is you can have a situation where there will be certain groups or certain demographics of the population that you sampled that is overrepresented. It means there's too many people of this group. For example, young males between the age of 21 to 30. You were expecting 30%, but you ended up getting 40 to 50%. Or sometimes you can have the flip situation of underrepresentation of certain groups. For example, older females at the age of 60 and above. So this is the other challenge. And finally, you also have a potential respondent bias, where sometimes a respondent may not necessarily say the accurate view of himself or herself in front of the pollster. Rather, he or she just being polite and just respond desirably to that question.
So on that point about bias then, how can bias be addressed or kept in check, whether it's on the part of the respondents or even within the questions from the pollster, you know, from that point in the process?
So let me just give you some ideas on how do you contain or mitigate biasness, because we can't avoid it. So let's say if the sampling has a biasness, you must understand the population demographics. So hence, when you formulate the sample population size, it must have taken into account the proportions of the various demographics. Okay, so that's in terms of tackling sampling bias. Now, the other issue is non-response bias. So non-response bias is the significant difference between the respondents and the non-respondents. So how do you tackle that? When you do a survey, allow sufficient time for data collection. And it is also important to do some pre-test of your survey just to see if there's any issues. For the issue of this, of the desirability bias, means the respondent is giving an answer that is just not reflective of what his or her views. You need to look at how the questions are being worded. As much as possible, it should be neutral. And very important, reiterate that this survey is anonymous.
Some people have suggested that, you know, taking into account everything that you point out, one should include in a poll, that some experts say that there are limits when it comes to phone interviews and that face-to-face ones may be better when it comes to conducting these polls. What are your thoughts on this? Would you say that one is better than the other?
I wouldn't say one is better than the other. It's more of depending on the context. So let me just go through briefly some of the advantages of using a face-to-face and also the advantages of the phone. If it is face-to-face interview, it is flexible and adaptable. And it also generates higher response rate because when you see the person most likely is able to respond. When it comes to phone, it is a very fast data collection method, way faster than face-to-face. And if you're using this thing called interactive voice recording where the questions are sent to a phone, it is issued in a robotic manner, there will be no interviewer bias because the questions, how it is said, it's pretty much monotonous and same. Now, if you look at the disadvantages of face-to-face interview, of course, it's a cost. Sending the people going on the ground, it's a time-consuming activity. And also the quality of the data being collected by interviewer is subjective because it goes back to the personality and the training skills of the interviewer. For face-to-face, sometimes we have to acknowledge that it is not necessarily useful for very long interviews. Let's say if you want to ask a person for more than 20 questions or even more than 10, it's best to go face-to-face. And some would say even some certain sensitive topics, maybe phone interviews are not necessarily the best way forward. So it goes back to the question, what are you trying to achieve with this survey? So there's no one method better than the other. Which is more question, which is more appropriate.
Now, how much transparency should there be when it comes to the results and reports that the poll itself generates? For example, should all reports include, say, an overview of respondents and the methodology?
So some of the key things that we should try to aim for disclosure is the dates of the survey. Very, very important. You need to know the survey period has taken place from this date to that date, so that you know this is a view of that point of time. The number of people are polled, so that you know whether it's actually being trying to be representative of the population size, the methodology or the form of interview, was it face-to-face, mail, online, phone, or hybrid. Form of sampling, was it using simple random sampling, means just choosing anyone on random, or stratified random sampling, where you divide the population based on certain attributes, and then you do a random selection based on these attributes. That needs to be disclosed. The margin of error, the potential error that you may face in this interview, the key attributes that you have considered in your surveyed population, age, gender, ethnic, and many more, and the name of the polling firm.
Now, why is this important? What do we gain from this level of transparency?
There are two things. First, by through the name of the polling firm and also even the population size, I mean, particularly also the attribute section, you're able to assess any potential biasness. So that's one. Secondly, you also, let's say even if the poll says totally independent and neutral, you also want to discern that it is representative of the population of that given time.
I also want to talk about the media. What are some ways that the media as a whole could report results in a way that is more meaningful to the general public and also, I think, a fairer representation of what the poll itself actually covered?
See, for the purpose of media disclosing it, I notice, generally speaking, they have quite good because they have issued the data surveys, a number of people. The only thing is, now, especially with online media, there is an additional advantage, like how Malay Mail uses the Flourish app visualization, which actually effectively communicates the outcomes of the survey in a graphical manner. But of course, with that, retain the principles that I have mentioned in the previous question, from data of the survey all the name of polling firm.
And from the perspective of the consumer, how do we better discern whether the polls are being done well? What are some of the things that we can look out for?
Three things. First, read through the whole news report or the article in depth, you know, pretty much read every line of it. Secondly, find out who is a polling firm and the date of the survey. Okay, if you are not able to discern, let's say, the margin of error, the type of attributes, the bare two minimums I recommend is look at the name of the polling firm and the date of the survey. And finally, those who are interested, or I strongly encourage, try to find the links of the original survey. If the media quotes a particular pollster firm, try to find if there is a link associated to the original survey so that you can find more details of the consideration of this poll.
Danish, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Danish Prakash Chako, Director of Tindak Malaysia, talking to us about polls here in the country. This is coming as there have been a whole bunch of them released recently with varying information, actually varying outcomes, which had us wondering, you know, how else could we be thinking about polls? How else can we gauge whether or not they are accurate and true to public sentiment? So we'd like to know if you've been seeing the results from these polls, if you've been seeing how they're reported, do you find that they actually match up to how you feel? Let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.